إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him and we ask Him for assistance and we ask Him for forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one who can misguide Him. And whoever Allah misguides, there is no one who can guide them. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His servant and His messenger. Indeed, one of the most important things and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the believer is to give him tawfiq, give him success to worship Him, to increase his knowledge, to become closer to Him. And the means or the way to do this is through seeking knowledge, learning about the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we sit in these sittings or in these halaq of knowledge, we should remember the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he says, مَجْتَمْعَ قَوْمٌ فِي بَيْتٍ مِّن بِيُوتِ اللَّهِ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابَ اللَّهِ وَيَتَدَارَسُونَهُ بَيْنَهُمْ إِلَّا نَزَلَتْ عَلَيْهِمُ السَّكِينَةُ وَغَشِيَتْهُمُ الرَّحْمَةُ وَحَفَّتْهُمُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وذكرهم الله في من عنده. Where he says there is no people or there is no group of a people who come together to sit in one of the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reading the book of Allah and studying it amongst themselves except that the tranquility of Allah is descended upon them and they are covered with the mercy of Allah and surrounded with the angels or by the angels. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions them to those who are with Him, meaning the angels. So when we are studying the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and this religion and the masajid, then keep this in mind. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning you to His malaika, His angels. And we want to briefly mention some of the virtues of knowledge because here we are seeking knowledge. As a reminder, as many of you have read or heard some of the virtues of ilm, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says in His book, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He raises in degrees those of you who have iman, belief, and those who have attained knowledge. He raises their status. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another verse, He says, قُلْ هَلْ يَسْتَوِي الَّذِينَ يَعْلَمُونَ وَالَّذِينَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ. Are those who know equal to those who do not know? The obvious answer is what? They are not equal. And another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ. That indeed those who truly have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who have khashya, are those who have knowledge, the ulama. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says, مَنْ سَلَكَ طَرِيقًا يَلْتَمِسُ فِيهِ عِلْمًا سَهَّلَ اللَّهُ لَهُ بِهِ طَرِيقًا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Whoever follows a path in quest of knowledge, seeking knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make His path to paradise easy. So while we're sitting here studying this ilm, seeking this knowledge, we have to keep in mind this great reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that made you of those who are sitting in this gathering to get this reward, while others may be wasting their time or doing whatever they may be doing. After mentioning that, we want to mention a few matters that are related to this, or to seeking knowledge, which are important, that we should keep in mind. The first matter is al-ikhlas, sincerity. Meaning that we seek knowledge, and we do every deed, any deed that brings us closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we should be sincere. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَمَا أُمِرُوا إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. That they were not commanded but to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sincerely. And the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَاتِ وَإِنَّمَا لِكُلِّ إِمْرَئٍ مَا نَوَى. That deeds are based upon intentions, and every person or every man will get what he intended. So our intention should be clear, that we are here to seek knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the scholars of Islam, some of them have mentioned some of the things that a person should have in his mind. The first matter is that you should intend to remove the ignorance from yourself. Meaning the purpose of sitting here is to learn, to benefit yourself first, to begin with. And then to teach others what you have benefited. As the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions about the Qur'an, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you is he who learned the Qur'an and teaches it. So we should try to learn and benefit ourselves to begin with, and then teach others. And also have the intention of implementing what we learn, practicing it. The purpose of seeking knowledge is not to increase the information only, to be another يعني, source or another place to store information, but rather it's to reflect on our actions. It should have an effect on you. The other matter after al-ikhlas is al-isti'ana billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. That we should seek Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help to support us and help us when we're seeking knowledge. For indeed, it requires patience. Anything, everything that we do, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. And that's why in salah, every salah, we recite in the Al-Fatiha, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. That we only worship you, or we worship you alone, and we only ask for your assistance. And even though al-isti'ana, seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a form of worship, which is really included in the first part of the verse, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ. But because of the importance of al-isti'ana billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything that we do, then it was mentioned, it was separated. So in all of our actions, everything that we do, we need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help. Do not rely on yourself. Because of your intelligence, you think you're intelligent, you can rely on yourself, but rather you should thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave you success to do whatever you may do, whatever you may achieve. And don't think that anything is impossible, it's difficult. For indeed, everything takes time. And with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you can achieve anything, bi'idhnillah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even if you think you are too old, for example, shaitan may come up to you and say, khalas, you're too old to seek knowledge, leave it to the younger people. This is a shubha, this is a shaitan whispering to you. We look at the sahaba radiallahu anhum, as al-Bukhari mentioned that most of them, they seek knowledge when they are older. And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called them to al-Islam, there were those who were young of the Sahaba. They were mentioned in their biography, he was from the young ones of the Sahaba, from the youth of the Sahaba. But many of the Sahaba weren't young. And they learned from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they implemented that knowledge. And as long as you're seeking knowledge and you're learning, then you are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because this is an ibadah. So there is no loss in time or money or wealth or whatever it may be, because you're worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if you die and you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inshallah you are safe, bi'nillah. Also, we have to understand the importance of knowing that this knowledge has to be seeked in tadarruj, meaning gradually. We're not going to learn everything overnight. It takes years maybe. Scholars, they started seeking knowledge from a young age until they died. So it's a journey that we continue. You will never reach to a level of knowledge where it's sufficient, where you say, khalas, I don't have to seek any more knowledge, I have enough. But rather, we continue to be students of knowledge, seeking knowledge. As long as we live, as long as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala permits us to be on this earth, then we should continue to seek knowledge. There is no ending. But rather, we start with the foundation, the basics, and we build up on that. It takes time, but it's no rush, because you're in ibad, you're in worship. So don't worry about the time that it takes you to learn. If you need to repeat something, then repeat it. For indeed, you have to have patience. And this is the next matter I want to mention, is the importance of having patience. Sabr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to have patience in all of our matters, all of our affairs. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ. Oh, you believe, seek patience and prayer. يعني, to achieve anything, we should have patience. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are patient. And there are many verses. And one of the scholars, one of the Salaf, Yahya ibn Abi Kathir, he said, لا ينال العلم براحة الجسد. That we cannot achieve or seek this knowledge with comfort of our bodies. Meaning that when you seek knowledge, you may have to stay up for longer hours. You may not sleep as much as you normally would sleep or normal people do. You may have to travel and so forth. And if we look at the history of the scholars of Islam in the past, and even the present, but especially in the past, we would see that they would travel sometimes for months, and they were traveling on camels just to listen to one hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And inshallah, when we talk about the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, we're going to mention some of these matters, the sacrifice of the Sahaba radhiallahu anhum and the scholars of Islam after them to preserve the religion of Allah. So it's important to have patience, that we are patient in our journey and our path of seeking knowledge. For indeed, it requires patience, requires time. Also, another matter which is extremely important also is the issue of having the manners, or ta'addub, bi adab al-ilmi, to discipline ourselves, to have the adab, the manners of the person who seeks knowledge. And for this reason, we find that Al-Imam Malik ibn Anas, famous scholar of Medina, he said to one young man, يَا ابْنَ أَخِي تَأَدَّبْ أَوْ أَطْلُبِ الْأَدَبَ قَبْلِ الْعِلْمِ. O my nephew, the son of my brother. This is expression, is a polite way of speaking to someone, especially if they are young. يَا ابْنَ أَخِي تَأَدَّبْ قَبْلَ أَن تَتْعَلَّمْ. He said this to a young man. And Ibn Sirin, famous tabi'i, scholar, he says, كَانُوا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْهَدْيَ كَمَا يَتَعَلَّمُونَ الْعِلْمَ. That they used to learn al-hadi, meaning the manners, etiquettes, discipline themselves, as on the same way they used to seek knowledge. And we read the biography of Imam Ahmad, for example, we also find that there are many people, thousands of people used to sit in his gatherings of knowledge just to learn from his adab. Because indeed, a person who has knowledge, he doesn't have adab, that's a big problem, that's a major problem. The person doesn't have the etiquette of a student of knowledge, it's a big issue. Mukhallad ibn al-Husayn, he said to Ibn al-Mubarak, نَحْنُ أَحْوَجُ إِلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَدَبِ أَوْ نَحْنُ إِلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْأَدَبِ أَحْوَجُ مِنَّا إِلَىٰ كَثِيرٍ مِّنَ الْعِلْمِ. That we are in need of more adab, much more than we are in need of knowledge. So this shows the importance of the adab when a person seeks knowledge. Also, a person should be aware of their time. When you're seeking knowledge, don't waste your time with things that are not that beneficial. Because the shaitan is always going to come to you and find an excuse why you shouldn't learn, why you shouldn't seek knowledge, why you shouldn't attend a class. But indeed, these are choices that we make. We decide what's important to us. If we want to make time for this, we can. We have time, or many people, they spend hours in reading newspapers, magazines, on social media, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, whatever the case may be. It's true that some of these, or some of the things they may learn from are beneficial, but in many cases, they waste much time. Or they spend time on things that are of less importance. Learning the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, learning your religion, the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is much more important, because this is going to have effect on you in the hereafter. This knowledge will benefit you when you leave this world. These are some of the matters that I want to mention in brief. As we said, there are books, many books of the Sahaba of Islam concerning this matter. After that, we want to mention something that's related to the topic, or the topics that are going to be discussed, inshallah ta'ala. And that is that we have to understand that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has created us to worship Him alone. And he didn't leave us without guidance, but rather He sent messengers and prophets to show us right from wrong, to show us the right path. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, رُسُلًا مُبَشِّرِينَ وَمُنذِرِينَ لِأَلَّا يَكُونَ لِلنَّاسِ عَلَى اللَّهِ حُجَّةٌ بَعْدَ الرُّسُلِ. That the messengers carrying glad tidings and their warners, so that the people will not have any proof or argument against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala after the sending of the messengers. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's just and He's fair. And that's why He says, وَمَا كُنَّا مُعَذِّبِينَ حَتَّى نَبْعَثَ رَسُولًا. That we would not punish, or we would not punish until we send a messenger. These messengers are to establish proof upon us that once we know what's required from us, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we won't have no excuse. So these messengers were sent with guidance, with books, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent with the final book, which is Al-Qur'an, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي أَقْوَى. Indeed, this book, the Qur'an, guides to that which is best. So this book is a book of guidance. If we don't study the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we don't read it, we don't reflect upon it, the verses, the benefits, the lessons, then how would we change? How would we find happiness, peace in our lives? How would we expect to be happy, to be better Muslims, to be better people, when we have abandoned the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Whether it's not reading it, reciting it, or not studying it. As we mentioned, we spend a lot of time reading or watching things. Some may be haram, some may be halal, but we spend a lot of time. And when we are asked or we're reminded to study, then we always have the excuse that we don't have time. But that's because we chose not to study, not to read the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not that we don't have time. It's a choice that we have made. Even if you take 10 minutes out of your day, just 10 minutes, you will benefit a lot. Read a couple of verses, read the tafsir if you can, which is better. And one benefit may change your life, you don't know. You'll find tranquility, you'll find peace in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the Prophet Muhammad, for this reason, we find that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged the Sahaba, encouraged us to learn his book. As we mentioned in the previous hadith, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you is he who learns the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he learns the Qur'an, he teaches it. And in many traditions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we're encouraged to recite. There's another narration. If you read one verse of the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you a reward, 10 rewards. For every letter, the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, لا أقول ألف لا ميم حرف ولكن ألف حرف ولام حرف وميم حرف. ألف لا ميم is not one letter, but rather ألف alone is one letter. ألف. Just reciting the ألف, you get 10 rewards. Imagine we say, بس الحمد لله رب العالمين. Just count. الرحمن الرحيم. So we leave out a lot of rewards that we can get just from reciting the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This 10 minutes in our day, we would take 10 minutes out of our day and just recite the Quran. Look how much reward we'll get. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages us to reflect upon His book and to study it. He says, أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Or before that, كِتَابٌ أَنزَلْنَاهُ إِلَيْكَ مُبَارَكٌ لِيَتْدَبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. That a book that we have sent down on you, upon you, which is blessed, so that they can what? لِيَتْدَبَّرُوا آيَاتِهِ. Reflect upon its verses. The purpose of the revelation of the Qur'an, why it was revealed? For us to learn from it. Not to put it on our shelves, not to just look at it, decorate it, design it, but it was to study it, to learn from it. And that's why in the following verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in other verses, أَفَلَا يَتْدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not reflect upon this book, the Qur'an? Or are there lax on their hearts? Our hearts are closed. We are missing out on this guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We turn away from the Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will turn us away from it. And we'll be misled, we'll be misguided. We look at why we're in this condition as Muslims. We'll find that the main reason is because we turned away from our religion, from the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sunnah, the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And also, we're encouraged to study and learn the sunnah, the guidance of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as well as the Qur'an. For indeed, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent, one of the reasons was to clarify the Qur'an, to explain the Qur'an to us. وَأَنزَلْنَا إِلَيْكَ الذِّكْرَ لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ. We have sent down upon you the dhikr, the Qur'an. لِتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ, so that you can clarify for the people that which was sent down to them. وَلَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ أو لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. That hopefully, or they will achieve, or they will be reminded. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains the Qur'an for us. It's not sufficient that we follow the Qur'an, but rather we have to follow the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah sent him to show us, to explain to us many things that are in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. Establish the prayer, give zakah. How do we give zakah? How do we pray? We only find this in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it's not sufficient that we study the Quran without studying the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in many verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us to obey the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, warns us from disobeying him. مَنْ يُطِعْ رَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Whoever obeys the Prophet or the Messenger, then indeed he has obeyed Allah. And another verse, scholars call it the verse of Al-Ibtila, Ibn Kathir mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say, قُلْ إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهُ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ. That if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if you truly love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. What's the result? يُحْبِبْكُمْ, Allah will love you and will forgive your sins. And Allah, in the many verses, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلُهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا. Whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ, and he transgresses the limits, or his limits, he will enter him into hellfire, خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, eternally, and he will be, and for him will be a punishment. Disgraceful punishment. So we find many verses in the Quran that clearly state that we have to follow the way of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? As we mentioned, because he shows us or explains to us the Quran, implements the Quran. As Aisha radhiyallahu anha, she mentioned the verse إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ, when Allah subhanahu wa taala, he says, وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ بِدِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْهُ إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَّابًا. That when the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, or it's achieved, and you see the people entering to Islam, many people entering to the religion of Islam, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ, glorify your Lord with praise, for indeed He is the one who accepts the repentance or the repenters. So this verse, we find that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this was revealed, he would say Subhana Rabbiya al-Azim, Subhana Rabbiya al-A'la in the prayer. When we say in ruku' Subhana Rabbiya al-Azim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he understood from this verse to praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Subhana Rabbiya al-Azim. If a person reads this verse, he would never understand this. Or most people, I should say, wouldn't understand this. Because the Sahaba will ask, what's meant by this also? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the Prophet understood from this that his death is soon. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in this verse, at the end of it, إِنَّهُ كَانَ تَوَابًا, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who accepts the repentance of the repenters. And he mentioned also the victory of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before that. So the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when some Sahaba were asked, what's the meaning of this verse? Or Umar asked them, Abu Bakr knew the meaning of it. But the rest of the Sahaba, many of them only understood the apparent meaning. And this also shows us the importance of the understanding of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum of the Quran. As we're going to mention inshaAllah, some details when we talk about the tafsir of the Quran, and the importance of understanding the Quran according to the understanding of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, and how this or not doing this can lead people astray, and how people have deviated when they invented their own understanding of the Quran or their own interpretations of the Quran. Because the Sahaba are the ones who were present when the Quran was revealed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So they saw the revelation being sent down to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They saw what he did, how he understood it. They are the best people who could explain the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us. So, inshaAllah ta'ala, in these sessions, or the following lessons, inshaAllah, lectures, we will introduce or have an introduction of the science of the Quran, where you study, or the scholars of Islam have mentioned certain details that help a person understand the Quran, or they serve the understanding of the Quran. And also, we will learn, inshaAllah ta'ala, briefly, how the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum preserved the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how the Book of Allah was preserved during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then after that from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and the jam' or the collection of the Quran during the time of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and why did he do it, and also in the time of Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu, the reasons why he did it, why did he make copies of the Quran, and how the Quran reached us today, how was it preserved, what type of system he used to make sure that what was written or what was collected was accurate. And also, we will do the same, بإذن الله تعالى, briefly. Or before that, we will introduce or give an introduction to tafsir, the science of the tafsir and the importance of the tafsir of the Quran, and some of the famous tafsir, and why is it important for us to read the tafsir of the Quran along with reading the Quran. And also, after that, we will have introduction to the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also show how the Sunnah was preserved, starting from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and then the scholars of Islam. And in brief, how do we know that a hadith is authentic or it's not? To show you how we know, or how we're certain, or we have comfort in our system or the method that the Muslims have developed or they started to preserve the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you will not find, or there doesn't exist any system which is similar to it. And that's why we have faith and we are certain of the traditions and the sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why? Because we have this system and this method that the Sahaba or the scholars of Islam have used. And we'll introduce or give introduction to some of the main books of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that every Muslim should know about. Because our religion is based upon the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And no Muslim should accept the fact that he doesn't know the main books of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Know something about them. يعني, we have knowledge in many fields. It might be science or other fields of knowledge, or economics, sports, health, whatever. But when we look at our knowledge of Islam, it's limited. We barely know anything. We're not talking about details that scholars know. We're talking about basic information that every Muslim should know. So inshallah ta'ala, we'll introduce some of these books of the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most famous books, or some of the most famous books, and show how the scholars of Islam have preserved the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam until reached us today. How do we know that these books are accurate? How have they reached us 1400 or 1300 years later? And so forth. Inshallah ta'ala. So inshallah, next week, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we'll start with the sciences of the Qur'an and explain what we mean by this, and some of the books also of the scholars of Islam, and what a person can benefit from studying these books. What type of knowledge you will find in them, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. Inshallah, we're going to try to start right after Isha. And the longest we'll sit is probably an hour, inshallah. It's a weekend, we know. And people may have things they want to do or whatever the case may be. So inshallah, we're not trying to let the shaitan come to you and say that the class is long. It will be short, inshallah ta'ala. And hopefully we will, if you have any questions that are related to the class, you can ask. Inshallah ta'ala. So we will stop here, inshallah. Subhanakallahu bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.